It's lovely to be here. Thank you for having me. As Frank said, my name is Lawrence and I'm the minister of Wilston Presbyterian Church. And when I was younger, about 9 or 10, I think, I stole money from my parents. Early one morning, I got out of bed, quite early, went into my parents' bedroom and I took a $10 note out of my mum's wallet. What persuaded me to do that? Tuck shop. I wanted to be able to get the expensive things from Tuck Shop, the things that I could never normally get with a $1 or $2 or $3 that mum gave me. And I did that. I have a distinct memory of buying kind of the most expensive ice cream that my primary school Tuck Shop had. Now, at that time, I don't think anything came out of this. I don't remember mum or dad finding out, or if they did, I don't remember talking to them about it. And I never told them what I'd done. But it stayed with me. As a teenager, even as a young adult, I could still clearly remember doing this, stealing from my parents. I could still remember what I'd done. And it's not like I had PTSD or anything, but occasionally I would remember what I'd done and I would feel a bit awkward. I would feel a bit yuck. I would feel sinful. Have you felt like that? Have you felt the weight of sin in your life? Well, friends, if you have, then Psalm 32 is good news for you, and it's good news for me. Because in Psalm 32, David wrestles with the weight of sin. In Psalm 32, we read about David feeling the burden of guilt, but then he finds relief and joy in God's forgiveness. Yes, friends, we're looking at Psalm 32 this morning, and let me give you the big idea. The big idea of Psalm 32. Friends, when we turn to Christ in repentance and faith, we are forgiven. Repentance and faith leads to forgiveness. And this is at the core of the gospel, isn't it? This is at the core of what it means to be a Christian. Psalm 32 gets to the foundation of what it means to follow Jesus. And Psalm 32 focuses in on one specific aspect, I think, of what it means to repent and believe. And that's confession. Confessing our sins to God, acknowledging our sins before him. That's a key part of what it means to repent. And we'll come back and talk about confession again at the end. Right now, let's set the scene of Psalm 32. This is a psalm of David, King David, the great king of Israel. You've read some other psalms of David over the last few weeks. And in this psalm, as we've seen, David celebrates God's forgiveness. David celebrates the fact that God's people are forgiven people. But more than that, David walks us through his experience of God's forgiveness. David takes us on a journey, doesn't he, from hiding his sin, from covering it up, to confessing his sin, to receiving God's forgiveness, to rejoicing in the Lord. Now, we don't know the details of this journey. We don't know specifically what David is reflecting on, but it could be David's adultery with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. We can't know this for sure, but there are some parallels between what David writes here in Psalm 32 and what David experienced in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, and we will refer to 2 Samuel once or twice as we go. So Psalm 32 takes us on a journey that starts with denial and silence and suffering, that leads to confession and forgiveness and ends with rejoicing in the Lord. And friends, I want to suggest that this is, in many ways, a journey that we all walk. So as we walk through Psalm 32, I want you to think about where you're at on this journey. Are you in a place of hiding, a place of silence, a place of denial right now? Or are you in a place of confession? Or maybe you're in a place of rejoicing over God's forgiveness. Where are you on this journey. Because wherever you are, Psalm 32 has something to say to you. All right, well, let's get into it. Let's move through Psalm 32 and see exactly what David says. David begins Psalm 32, I think, with kind of a summary of the main point, forgiveness. Verse 1, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin Yahweh does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. There's some great repetition here. David actually uses three different words for sin, transgression, iniquity, and sin. Remember that. That's important later. And just note the very last line of verse 2. Blessed is the one in whose spirit is no deceit. I think that's a hint as to what's important here. Blessed is the one who does not hide his sin. In other words, blessed is the one who confesses. Now in verse 3, we enter David's story, David's journey from silence to confession to forgiveness and rejoicing. And we start off with David keeping silent about his sin, don't we? We start off with David failing to confess. And because he kept silent, David feels terrible. Verse 3, David says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. In other words, David felt terrible. My bones wasted away, he says. And when David says bones, I think he means more than just kind of his physical bones. For ancient Israel, bones was a way of talking about their feelings, their emotions. It's a bit like how we talk about our gut. Yeah, you might say, I've got a gut feeling about something. Well, David has a gut feeling here. A gut feeling because of his sin. David feels like his bones, his emotions, his inner self is wasting away. I think it's a description of emotional turmoil. And there might even be something physical here. David might even be saying he feels physically sick as a result of this inner turmoil. And can you see the contradiction in verse 3? David keeps silent on the outside, but inside he's groaning. Inside it's loud, it's deafening even. This chaos of emotions, the guilt, the remorse, the shame, it's roaring. Have you felt like this before? On the outside, you're silent, but inside, you're screaming. Inside, guilt is eating you up. Every time I thought about how I had stolen from my parents, I felt awkward. I felt yuck. Now, I wouldn't say I felt things on the same magnitude that David describes here, but I certainly felt something. And David feels God's hand of discipline upon him. Verse 4, for day and night your hand was heavy on me, David says. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. What we're seeing here is that what David's experiencing, it's not just David's conscience. This internal turmoil, this inner groaning is actually a result of God's discipline. And I've used the word discipline here deliberately because I think that captures what's going on. God's not punishing David here. Rather, God is disciplining David to call him to repentance. God is using, maybe we could even say God is guiding David's inner turmoil, possibly David's physical suffering, to bring David to a point of repentance. Remember the words of Proverbs 3. My son, Solomon says, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father delights, as a father the son he delights in. Hiding his sin has led to God's discipline on David. David feels weak, like when you're working on a hot summer's day. His strength is sapped. David is drained. He's weak. He's weary, he's exhausted from his guilt. But now, David comes to his senses. He has a prodigal son moment. He hears his conscience. David listens to God and he turns and confesses. Verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And there's some great symmetry here. Transgression, sin, iniquity, all the words for sin from verse 1 and 2, they're all mentioned here again in verse 5. And I wonder if this is a picture of full confession, a picture of complete confession. David doesn't engage in a half-hearted confession. He puts everything out there. And now, in the second half of verse 5, and I find this fascinating, this is actually the very center of the psalm, the middle phrase, we hear the wonderful truth of the gospel. David writes, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Friends, David turned to God in repentance and faith. David confessed his sin, and God forgave him. And here, verse 5, this actually matches up with David's experience after he committed adultery and murder. In 2 Samuel 12, you may know the story. God confronts David with his sin. God speaks through the prophet Nathan. Nathan rebukes David, and David comes to his senses. 2 Samuel 12, verse 13, then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against Yahweh. And Nathan replied, Yahweh has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. David confessed, and the Lord forgave. And this is what happened for me. When I was a young adult, maybe 10 or so years ago, I can't remember exactly when, I confessed to my mum that I had stolen money from her 10 or so years earlier. It was awkward. It was a bit messy, but I did it. Now I realize that Psalm 32 is talking about confessing to God. Here I confess to a person, but I think they're connected. Confessing to my mum allowed me to know God's forgiveness in a real and genuine way. And for me, Psalm 32, verse 5, captures the beautiful simplicity of the gospel. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. There's more to be said, absolutely, but in one sense, this is all you need to know. Psalm 32, verse 5. Friends, when we turn to Christ in repentance and faith, we are forgiven. The guilt that we carry is gone. That inner turmoil, our bones wasting away, the groaning at the center of our being, that doesn't need to be there anymore. Because when we turn to Christ in repentance and faith, God forgives us. In one sense, it's that simple. But there is more to understand. So let's have a quick think about that. The Apostle Paul does explain God's forgiveness further in the New Testament. How is it that David can be forgiven? How can we be forgiven? How does turning to Christ in repentance and faith lead to forgiveness? Well, Paul explains this blessing of forgiveness that David describes in Psalm 32. Paul explains that in Romans 3 and 4. And Paul explains it this way. Paul says, we are forgiven because God counts us righteous. We are forgiven because God credits us as righteous because of our faith. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 4. I'm going to pick up at Romans 4, verse 4, and I'm leading towards a quote of Psalm 32. Okay? This is what Paul says, starting at verse 4. Paul says, now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is kept credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. And that was the quote of Psalm 32. Romans 4, 7 and 8 is a quote of Psalm 32, 1 and 2. So can you see what Paul is saying in Romans 4? The forgiveness of Psalm 32, the blessing of having your sins forgiven, friends, that's gospel forgiveness. David says the same thing, Paul said. What David says is what Paul is saying. The forgiveness of Psalm 32 is the forgiveness that we receive through faith in Christ. And Paul's describing this forgiveness in terms of justification and righteousness. Forgiveness is God crediting righteousness to us. Forgiveness is God justifying the ungodly. And friends, this is by faith. By placing our faith in Christ, we're made righteous. In other words, we are forgiven. So does that make sense? By turning to Christ in repentance and faith, we can experience what David experienced. By turning to Christ in repentance and faith, by confessing our sin, we will be forgiven. And we can actually drill into this even a little bit further. The forgiveness of Psalm 32 comes through faith in Christ because of the work of Christ. Because Jesus died on the cross, we can be forgiven. And if we step back into Romans 3, kind of we can see this clearly. Romans 3:25, Paul writes, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. That's how the forgiveness of Psalm 32 works. That's how gospel forgiveness works. Because Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood as a sacrifice of atonement so that through faith in him we can be forgiven. Now, friends, we could keep drilling into this, but we should move on and come back to Psalm 32. But I hope that you can see that the forgiveness of Psalm 32 is gospel forgiveness. The forgiveness David received is the same forgiveness that you receive, that I receive through faith in Christ. All right, back to Psalm 32. In the second half of the psalm, I think we've got David the preacher. I think verses 6 to 11 is David speaking to the people of Israel. This is David the forgiving one speaking to the people, and I think that David's calling them to confess their sins just like he did. Verse 6, David says, "Therefore let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found." Pray to God, David says. And in context, I think he means confess. All you faithful people, confess your sins to God. Acknowledge to God what you've been hiding. I think that Psalm 32, verse 6 is a call to confess our sins. It's a call to confess our sins knowing what's going to happen. We will be forgiven. And I think this is actually what we see in the second half of the verse. Confess, David says, and God's judgment will not come. Therefore, David's saying, let all the faithful pray to you, confess, while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters, and I think that's the mighty waters of God's judgment, will not reach them. Confess your sins. Trust in God's forgiveness, and the mighty waters of God's judgment will not reach you, David says. And you may have noticed that interesting phrase, while you may be found. Pray to God while you may be found. I think here David means in the temple. For ancient Israel, that's where they prayed to God, in the temple. For them, that's where God could be found. For us, well, friends, we don't need to go to the temple, do we? We have the privilege of being able to pray, being able to confess our sins to God anywhere, at any time. You can confess and receive forgiveness right now. And before we keep going through Psalm 32, I want to have another short detour and remind you of the importance of confession through a story that Jesus told. Jesus told a story of two men who go to the temple to pray to help us understand the importance of confession. Because in Jesus' story, only one of the two men has understood Psalm 32. This is Luke 18. Jesus says, two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, robbers and evildoers or adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance, didn't he? He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The tax collector acknowledged his sin to God, didn't he? The tax collector did not cover up his iniquity. The tax collector confessed his transgressions to Yahweh. And what happened? Well, Jesus says in verse 14, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, the one who confessed rather than the other, went home justified before God. Repent, confess, acknowledge your sins, and you will be forgiven. Moving on, back to Psalm 32, in verse 7, I think David starts to turn to explain the result of confessing to God. As well as forgiveness, those who turn to God in repentance and faith have a wonderful protector. Verse 7, David says, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. And this is true for us too, friends. In Colossians, Paul says, we're hidden with Christ in God. God is the protector of all who trust in Jesus. We know that God works all things for our good. Continuing through the psalm in verse 8, I think David's continuing to speak to the people. And let me just remind you of the flow of David's kind of poetic sermon here. David's calling the people to repent. That's verse 6. Confess your sins and you'll be forgiven. The mighty waters of God's judgment won't sweep you away. Trust God and he'll protect you. That's verse 7. And now David says in verse 8, let me instruct you. Let me teach you, David says. Let me teach you the right way to live. And what is the right way? Well, verse 9 may feel a little cryptic. David says, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. So what's David trying to say here? Well, remember the genre. This is kind of a summary of a poetic sermon. So I don't think David's going to give us all the details of the righteous life. That's not how poems work. But I think David is picking up an idea that the Israelites would have recognized. David's picking up this a little line of ancient Israelite thinking. Sin is animal-like. Fallen humanity, sinful humanity, behaves like animals. There's a few places in the Old Testament where we see this. In Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve leave the garden, they're clothed in animal skins. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 4, what's his punishment? Live like a wild animal. Fallen humanity is animal-like. We can't even control ourselves. So I think the point of verse 9 is when God's people repent, they need to no longer live sinful, animal-like lives. They need to no longer be like animals. And friends, Paul makes this same move in Romans, and in fact lots of his letters. After writing of forgiveness, after writing of justification, Paul says, let me instruct you in the way you should go. And to use Paul's language, Paul says things like, don't let sin reign over you. Paul says, put sin to death. So friends, As forgiven people, don't be like the horse. Don't be like the mule. Don't be a slave to sin. Don't be driven by sinful desires. Rather, put sin to death and offer every part of yourself to God as an instrument of righteousness. That's Romans 6:13. David wraps up the psalm in verses 10 and 11. And here we find the end of the journey, don't we? David has come through this journey of hiding his sin to repentance, confession, to being forgiven, and now David calls the people to rejoice. Verse 10, many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. God's forgiveness is a wonderful blessing. We have a God who loves and cares for us. And when we confess our sins, he forgives. And that's worth rejoicing over. So Psalm 32, friends. Let me try to kind of summarize what we've talked about from Psalm 32 this morning. We're forgiven people, aren't we? When we turn to Christ in repentance and faith, when we confess our sins before him, we are forgiven. And that forgiveness is through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, the sacrifice of atonement. And as forgiven people, we're called to walk the path of righteousness. Don't be like the horse or the mule. Don't let sin rule over you. Rather, as forgiven people, put sin to death. Walk righteously. And rejoice, friends. Rejoice in the forgiveness of God. That's what Psalm 32 is saying to us. And Psalm 32 has taken us on a journey, hasn't it? A journey through hiding our sin, to confession and forgiveness, to rejoicing in God. So as I asked at the start, where are you on this journey? Where are you at on our journey from silence to confession to forgiveness to righteousness to rejoicing? Where are you at on our path? Let's start at the end. Maybe right now you feel like you're at the end of the path. You feel like you've confessed your sin and you're confident in God's forgiveness. You're confident that you're forgiven through faith in Christ. You're rejoicing in the Lord, just like we read in verse 11. If that's you, friends, praise God. Praise God that he's brought you from darkness to light. Praise God that you know the forgiveness of Christ. And if this is where you're at today, let me say two things. Firstly, live the life of God's forgiven people. Don't be like the horse or the mule. Don't be ruled by sinful desires. Keep putting sin to death. And secondly, remember that you need to keep repenting. Remember that you need to keep confessing your sins to God. You need to have a rhythm of confession in your life. Friends, the journey of Psalm 32 is one that we will walk again and again and again until we stand with Jesus himself. Listen to what the Apostle John says. This is 1 John 1, starting at verse 8. John says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Even if you feel like you're at the end of the journey, friends, you're not without sin. Even as you rejoice in God's forgiveness, we're still sinful people. So we need to continue to repent, to continue to confess, always confident in God's forgiveness. So if you're at a place of confidence and rejoicing, that's my encouragement to you. Keep putting sin to death and keep confessing. Keep confessing knowing that God is a forgiving God. But maybe, friends, you're at a different point on the journey. Maybe you're coming to a point of confession like David did in verse 5. Maybe you've been wrestling with a particular sin. Maybe you've been feeling that internal torment, that feeling of your strength being sapped, your bones wasting away. Maybe you're ready to confess something. A bit like me when I stole from my parents. Maybe there's something playing on your mind that you need to deal with. If that's the case, let me encourage you to do business with God. Acknowledge your sin before God. Confess your sin, and friends, do that knowing that you are forgiven. And let me say quickly, that relief from that internal torment may take time. Sometimes it takes our hearts and our bodies time to understand the forgiveness of God. We may get it in our heads, but our hearts may need to be told over and over and over again that we are forgiven through faith in Christ. So if you've been suffering like David did and you're coming to a point of confession, just remember that it's a process. A process of having our hearts and our minds, our very bones, to use that ancient Israelite idea, filled with the knowledge that we're forgiven. Or finally, friends, maybe you're in a place of silence today, like David was in verses 3 and 4. Maybe you're covering up your sin. Maybe you're trying to deceive yourself and God, and you're feeling that internal torment. You might be a believer, but there's something specific that you need to repent of, something that you've been hiding from God, something that you've been silent about, something that's eating you up inside. Or maybe you're not a Christian today. Maybe you've never repented before, but you have that sense that you're guilty, that you've rejected the way that the Holy God calls us to live. In either case, friends, take a leaf out of David's book and confess. Confess knowing the good news that you can be forgiven. Acknowledge your sin before God. Turn to him in repentance and faith, knowing that he is a forgiving God. Join with all God's faithful people and say, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And he forgave the guilt of my sin. Please pray with me as we finish our time together.
And then he says he will re-give all his to all the other people and undo his sins to all those people who have hurt. And then Jesus says that his sins have been
atoned. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are our forgiving God, and for that we thank you. And we praise you. Thank you that all who turn to you in repentance and faith are forgiven. So this morning, Father, we pray that we may be repentant people. May we be people who willingly confess. May we be people who come to you and acknowledge our sins. And through your Spirit, Father, may we know the joy of forgiveness. If anyone here needs to do business with you today, we pray that they would do that. May they know that you love them and care for them. May they know your forgiveness in a real and genuine way. And Father, we pray for all of us that we would be confessing people, that we would be people who regularly confess our sins to you and are confident in your forgiveness. May we know the joy of being your forgiven people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.